I'd like you to turn with me this evening to 1 John and to chapter 5 and to verse 13. We'll look at a number of scriptures this evening, but this will be our starting point. 1 John 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I'd like to speak this evening on the subject of the believer's assurance. My title is Secure in Christ. This is a letter addressed to those who are unsure. They are in Christ, but they want that assurance, that confidence that true believers should have. It should be our experience every day. This is what we desire. This is what we want. But there are times when assurance ebbs and flows. Now, this subject needs careful handling. We could have the opposite effect when coming to a subject like this. Either, if we do not yet know the Lord's blessing with conversion, if we've not yet come in faith and trust and had sins forgiven and experienced new life in Christ, we could have a misplaced confidence. That would not be good. I don't want to encourage any to have a misplaced confidence. But we could also have the opposite effect. There might be some struggling with doubts. And I could add to your doubts tonight, and you may become unsure and begin to wonder, are you truly the Lord's? My desire is the opposite. It's to try to strengthen faith, to try to remove doubts, to try to help us to know how we can deal with the doubts that sometimes happen in our lives, in our Christian life. I have a conviction that in this church there are those who are the Lord's, and yet we still have doubts. We don't yet have that assurance of faith. We haven't yet come to know and to feel that we are the Lord's. We don't yet have that confidence to say, I am all for God. Christ has forgiven me, and I have a degree of assurance sufficient to make that which has gone on within my heart to be known and to be public. So our purpose tonight is threefold. To identify certain problems initially that we have in the Christian life with assurance. Just three problems. There are many others. Then to look at a number of texts which deal with this subject. I could turn to literally dozens, but we'll just look at four very briefly. And then some encouragements to try to help us to deal with doubts. The doubts that, if we're honest, all of us have. Well, we first need to come to define what is assurance. It's different from insurance. Assurance, let me give you a definition. To know with a growing confidence, a felt peace, joy, and security of our status and position in Christ, and that He is a faithful and eternal Saviour to the end. I'll just say that again, it's quite long. To know with a growing confidence, a felt peace and joy and security that we are in Christ as our faithful and eternal Saviour. The verb to assure means to make confident, to make certain. This should not be something that comes and goes like the weather. This should not be like the temperature that goes up and down. It's our weakness. It's our failing that we do have doubts from time to time. Paul, Peter, and John, throughout the epistles, the letters, They speak often of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knew that believers down through the ages, they would struggle with doubts. Well, it's our desire to have a growing assurance that comes from having a deeper faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not spiritual arrogance to say that I have a growing assurance and that my doubts are fewer. That is not misplaced confidence, because at the outset, the confidence is not in me. My faith is not in me. My confidence is all in Christ. The more we have faith, the more we exercise our faith in Christ, the more the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and we have more confidence in Christ. This is an assurance and a confidence and a security in Christ. That's a well-placed confidence. So let's just deal with three problems. The first problem, if we're all honest, is our experience is that we don't have a life, a Christian life, free of doubts. Some, very rarely, you do meet people and it seems they have a rock solid faith. Doubts very rarely come into their mind. They seem to never have the experience of doubting where they stand. But that's rare. Pastorally and speaking to believers down through the years, this is one of the most common pastoral problems. Pastor, I have doubts. My faith is shaking. I'm concerned. Am I truly the Lord's? Did Christ die for me? That peace that I once had, that joy, it's not there. Well, I want to say, this is not a normal experience that we should be happy with. It is a common experience, but it is not to be a normal experience. We're not to normalize it. And we'll come to that. Sometimes we hear a very glib answer. Don't worry if you have doubts. That's normal. That's natural. Most believers do. It's if you don't have doubts that you should be really concerned. Well, my friends, I don't think that's right. That's not what the Word of God teaches. Yes, doubts are common, but we should not accept them. We should not normalize them. We should not think that that's a good thing because Satan is attacking us. Yes, he does. And he is the cause of many doubts. But don't feel good about it in any way. Don't feel that it's normal. We should have, and this is an extreme analogy that I want to use to make a point, we should view doubts in the Christian life as on the same level as blasphemy. Blasphemy is to put God in a position lower than he should be, to use his name in vain. It's to doubt that he is Lord. It's to use his name in an irreverent way. But when you think about doubts in the life of a believer, doubts are to say God is not true to his word. God is a liar because he will not keep me. And he is not true to his word. And he will not hold me and bear me. No, the problem is with us. So we should, when we encounter doubts, as we will do, as we do from time to time, we should desire to put our trust and faith in the Lord and in his word. So the first problem is our experience can be to normalize doubts, to get used to them, to accommodate them, to live with them. The second problem. Sometimes we rely for assurance on what we do. This is a terrible theology. It's just as bad as thinking that we can save ourselves and thinking that our assurance and confidence comes from the way we live, the way we behave, whether we do this and do that. This is a Roman Catholic teaching. This is a teaching that makes us very dependent upon Mother Church and upon an institution, encouraging us to do more, to pay more indulgences, to make confessions, hoping, thinking that we can do enough. And only then, in eternity, even in purgatory, will we have a hope, a faint hope, that we've done enough. No, our assurance should not depend upon us. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that any believer can live life as they please. We could turn back to 1 John 3, verse 3. You don't need to. Every man that hath this hope, this certainty within him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Every true believer has a desire within them to make themselves ever increasingly pure and clean and sanctified and right with God. That is the mark of a believer. But my point is this. Our assurance should not come from what we do. Our assurance comes from what Christ has done, will do, and from his words. So that's the second problem. Relying on our confidence in ourself instead of our security being in Christ. The Bible teaches that by our fruits we have evidence for our salvation. But a believer's security does not depend. We are saved in Christ when he's called us, when he's changed us, when he's worked within us. That transformation of conversion when we first believed, that is secure. It will never be taken away. Our salvation does not depend and our peace does not depend upon what we do. It depends upon what Christ has done already when he drew us to himself, when he illuminated our lives, when we first felt convicted of our sin and came in repentance and faith, and we trusted in the finished work of Christ upon the cross. So that's the second problem. Relying on what we do and what we've done and our sin and our good deeds, that's not what we rely on. The third problem, and perhaps this is the biggest problem of all, is we rely on our feelings. Feelings are a very inaccurate guide to our security in Christ. We rely on God's word. God's word does not change. God's word coming into our mind should be more certain and more sure. We don't rely on how we feel today or yesterday. Feelings are not always the same. Pastor, I'm not feeling it. I feel the Lord has abandoned me. I feel numb. Friends, don't look at your feelings. Don't be concerned today with how you feel. Go back to the Word of God. Rely on what he said. That when you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Pastor, I'm having doubts and fears. I've done something wrong, something terrible. But always, when you probe a bit deeper with the person that's having regular doubts and significant problems with assurance, there is nearly always a neglect of duty. There is a laying off of prayer. There is a forsaking of reading of God's word or doing it through routine or habit or cutting corners. There is always a cause. And yes, the devil spots the opportunity and he will take and occupy any space that we give him. No doubt we start to lack peace and joy in believing. There is a causal factor. But the answer for assurance does not come from dwelling on what we haven't done. It comes from coming back to God's word, from doing what we should do, from coming into his presence more fervently, and from being more earnest. So we need to come. These are three problems. Let's look at a number of texts in the brief time that we have. They're quite familiar texts. I don't need to exegete them that carefully because I'm sure you know most of them quite well. Firstly, 1 John 5:13. We could give a heading to this. Our permanent possession. We have faith. It's a possession. We sang in one of the hymns, the second hymn, and we use this word, where is the earnest of my heaven? That's an old-fashioned word, but it really can't be translated in any other way. When you buy a house, you have to put down a deposit. We're not the one that puts down the deposit for heaven. Christ gives us the deposit. It is the Holy Spirit dwelling within our hearts. Once the deposit for the house has been paid, there is a contract drawn up. There's no backing out. It's yours. You are the legal owner. The title will pass to you. That is the Bible's picture for salvation. We have an earnest. Well, keep that picture in mind. We come to 1 John 5 verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe. This is addressed to Christians. You've believed on the name of the Son of God for salvation. Semicolon. Now he's going to speak not just about when you believed in Christ. He's now speaking about ongoing belief in Christ. He's speaking about assurance. This whole section of verses is about assurance. That ye may know, this is going forward, it's future ongoing tense, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. The word have is a possession. You possess it. It's yours. It can't be taken away. The problem is, we sometimes feel as though it is taken away. We sometimes have doubts that it ever came in the first place. But, he's mentioned at the beginning of the verse, you have believed. Christ is yours. Salvation is yours. The problem is, we doubt. We have problems of assurance. And John says that you may have an ongoing knowledge of your eternal possession of eternal life. How? There's a second believing. You first believed when you were saved, and there is an ongoing belief. Who in? In the same Christ, the Son of God. He uses the Son of God. It's the divine name for Christ, the one who cannot lie, the one who gave us the Holy Spirit, at Pentecost, and when the Holy Spirit came, when he was baptized. You see, when we came, we had salvation and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The problem is we quench the existence and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And that felt sense of joy and confidence, it begins to ebb away. Well, we have it already. We have the Holy Spirit already. It comes at conversion. The issue is we don't feel it. We don't enjoy it. We don't have the confidence. Verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If you have a problem with assurance, pray about it. We have a confidence. Does God want to give us assurance? Oh yes, he does. If you're struggling, pray for assurance. Pray for peace to return, for confidence in Christ. That's the first thing that we need to do. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know. This is the book. This is the letter of knowing. Count them up. There are over 20 times John uses in 1 John. We know. We have a certainty. We have a possession. We just need to realize it. We just need to have the faith and the acceptance to realize that it's true. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So that's the first verse. Our permanent possession. Let's turn over to a second verse. Turn with me to 1 Timothy and chapter 1 and to verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. An even more familiar text that we can turn to on this subject of assurance. 1 Timothy. Rather, 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 12. Partway through the verse, after the colon, for I know whom I have believed. That's in the past tense. Again, Paul this time is looking back to the time when he believed. We can call this our certain conviction of assurance. For I know whom, it's in a person, of whom I have believed. That's in the past tense. That's when I came to faith. Now, this is present tense, present continuous. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. And am persuaded. The word means I have a full conviction. I am given assurance that Christ is able to keep. For I know whom I have believed when I was converted, and I am fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You see, the confidence is not in me. It's not about what I do. It's not about what I say. Yes, I may fall. I may sin. I may have doubts. That's my bad, as they say. But the answer is to return to Christ and to return to the conviction, the complete conviction that Christ is able to keep that which I have committed. You see, when I put my faith in Christ, this was a permanent faith. This was an eternal faith. This was a conviction that he didn't just save me for time, but for eternity. unto him against that day. That day, what's the day? The day when I shall stand before him. That day when he shall come again. That day when eternal life will be my experience for the whole of eternity. Paul has full conviction, a certain conviction. I know whom I have believed. I'm fully persuaded. He has no doubt about it. It will be for time and for eternity. Turn back again to Romans chapter 8 and to verse 16. Another verse about assurance. We can call this the Holy Spirit's testimony within our hearts. Paul again speaking about the witness of the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 16. The Spirit, that's the earnest, the deposit within our hearts. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. Holy Spirit's come into my heart when I was converted, into my soul, into my spirit. And when I'm a child of God, there is the evidence, there is the witness. That's what the word means, the evidence. The Holy Spirit bears evidence with my spirit that we are, or I am, a child of God. This is the witness of the Holy Spirit. It's there in every believer. But sometimes the Holy Spirit withdraws. If you're having doubts, it is right to say, have I fallen into some great sin? Have I left off my first love? Have my devotions gone cold? Have I left off some great duty? Have I quenched the Spirit so that evidence, that witness, that presence, that knowledge of God, that sweet fellowship has ebbed away? There's always a cause. If we're not feeling it, if we're having doubts, try and ask the cause. Don't get used to them. Don't accommodate them. Don't say, I've had these doubts for a week. I'm sure I can put up with them for a week longer. No, you go on your knees. You ask, Lord, where was my first love? Where was that feeling that I once had? Give it me back again. I want to have the witness, the evidence of the Holy Spirit within my heart, so that I know I'm a child of God. Paul teaches this so clearly. Now for some, there will be a gap from the time that they have believed. They have believed, I put my faith in Christ. But the Holy Spirit has not yet given that evidence of the time that you believed. What we need to do is we need to come and ask for that deeper assurance, that deeper conviction that we are the child of God. And if we come and ask for the evidence, the Lord will give it to us. I'd like to come to a final, to a fourth scripture. Turn now to the Apostle Peter. 2 Peter in chapter 1. And verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Now this is speaking of our duty. We have an obligation. This is a command. This is something that is not optional. We can call this our earnest duty for growing assurance. This is something that we should have as an objective. We want to feel, to know, to have the joy, the confidence that we are in Christ. That blessed assurance, as we call it. So Peter says, 2 Peter 1, verse 10, wherefore, the rather, he's speaking of those that lack assurance, brethren, they're already believers, give earnest diligence, give earnest attention to make your calling and election sure. The Lord has called you. You are a child of God. You're elect and you are precious. But that witness of the Spirit is not what it might be. It's not what it once was. You have been called. You are a brother, a sister. Now it's your duty. You are to seek greater assurance. The normal Christian life is that we should not have doubts. There is no need for doubts. Make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. That's an absolute. If you keep the faith, if you live close to the Lord, if you don't quench the Spirit with sin, with ill discipline, and I'm speaking to myself as well, ye shall never fall. That's an absolute. There's no conditions. If that's the way we live our Christian lives, in a dedicated way, coming into the presence of God every day, never offering up insincere worship, never going through the motions, never slipping our devotions, then this should be our experience. Let me give you a number of quotes on the subject of assurance. Some might find these to be helpful. Stephen Charnock, a Puritan, said this, assurance is the fruit that grows out of the root of faith. We have faith. The root is in Christ and in His Word. Assurance should naturally grow out of it. John Newton, that man that we know so well from near to Bedford, he said, assurance grows from the experience of repeated conflict. Why do we have trials? Why do we have difficulties? Why do we have doubts? It is to strengthen faith, to give more assurance. Thomas Brooks, another Puritan, he said, prayer crowns God with the honor and glory due to His name. God crowns prayer with assurance and comfort. The most praying souls are the most assured souls. If we have problems with assurance, it's usually through a lack of prayer. Ralph Erskine says this, many do not understand themselves. When they say they want assurance, what better assurance would you have than the Word of God? If you have His Word and you take His Word, you have no better. The Westminster Confession of Faith says this, you cannot enjoy high levels of genuine assurance of Christians as Christians if you persist in low levels of obedience and absence of prayer. A satisfaction with a low level of obedience to the Lord will automatically lead to a low assurance. Now I have 7 practical points. I'm just going to mention them as we close. If we want to cultivate, if we want to develop a biblical assurance that doesn't need to have doubts, where doubts are not normal and doubts are not accommodated, here's 7 things that we must do. First, depend only on Christ's merit, not on your own works, and not on your own actions, they will never give us confidence. We depend upon Christ alone for salvation, and we depend upon Christ for assurance. Secondly, exercise real faith in His Word, in His work on Calvary, and on His promises. Thirdly, focus always on Calvary. If we think often of the cross, if we come often to the cross, if we think of the mercy that He shed abroad at Calvary, we will have no doubts. Assurance disappears at Calvary. When we think of what Christ has done for me, it will give me assurance and security, because I think away of self and I think to Christ. Fourthly, pursue and make progress in sanctification. I'm convinced whenever I've had doubts, it's because I'm not progressing, or worse, I'm going backwards in the process of sanctification. I'm not becoming more holy. If I become more holy, I will become more assured. Fifthly, develop a hunger for a doctrinal understanding. If we knew the Word of God, if we knew the teaching of God's Word, we would subdue doubts. Sixthly, reflect often on past victories over sin, and on how we prove the Lord in prayer. Look back at past times when you knew temptation, when you fell and the Lord lifted you up, and think of those past victories of what He has done in your life, and doubts will be dispelled. Seventhly, finally, desire to have ever closer union with Christ. If you're living with Christ and in Christ, and you have sweet fellowship with Him, and you come often into His presence, and you declare your utter dependence on Him and in Him, we will not have doubts. Follow these seven steps. They will be a sure guide, and they will give us security in Christ. Let's remind ourselves of that definition. We want to know assurance. We want to know a growing confidence, a felt peace and joy and security in Christ as our faithful and eternal Saviour. I trust that we will all have growing assurance if we are in Christ. And if we're not, my desire is that you will know that assurance once you are in Christ. If there are any who are listening to this message tonight, and within your heart you have trusted, you have come under the blood of Christ, you are in Christ, He is your only hope, you may also have the assurance, if you ask for it by faith, He will give it to you, and the Spirit will dwell within your heart and give you the evidence that you are already a child of God. May the Lord bless us and give us much comfort that we are the children of God and assure ourselves